Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report. It's September the 11th, 2015. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This is USDA Report Day for the month of September. The World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, along with the next set of crop production numbers, were released this morning at 11 a.m. by USDA. You can see those figures on our website at Will Ag and listen to us during this half hour, actually total hour, for the numbers and some reaction, including from Mike Zuzlow, who's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, and Daryl Good, ag economist at the U of I. We'll also talk with the folks out at the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility. Andy Schaefer should join us, and we'll take a look at the weather forecast, too, that with Jim Angel from the Illinois State Water Survey.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago on this Friday afternoon. Futures like this at 374.5, up 12 and 3 quarters for the day in the corn pit. December contract at 387, up 12 and 3 quarters. And the March at 398 and a quarter, up 12 and 3 quarters. July at 410, that's up 12 and a half cents. Soy complex, September beans, 3 1/4 higher at 887 and 3 quarters. November at 874 and a quarter, up a quarter. And January unchanged at 877 and a half. The March futures at 879, they're down a half of a cent. And July down 2 1/4 in the bean pit at 883. November beans at 866 and a quarter, up 1 for the day. Bean meal futures in the October at 310.90, 290 higher. Bean oil at 26.65, 30 cents lower. Soft red winter wheat in the September at 475.5, up 7.5. The July, 503.25, up 7.75. The hard red in September at 459, up 5.5 cents. And July futures at 515.5, up a nickel for the day. Live cattle futures from the CME Group finished the October 2.42.5 lower. That's $2.42.5 at 140.52.5 for their final or almost final trade. They're still moving just a bit. September contract at $200.45 in the feeder cattle. They were down $3.50. October down $3.75 at $194.75. And lean hogs for the day in the October down $1.25 at $67.52.5. December at $62.87.5. Down 67.5 cents. You, of course, are listening to Illinois Public Media. Find us online where? At willag.org. This is IPM.
Support comes from AgriGold. Celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Let's take a look at some of the rest of the marketplace. The energies are now trading crude oil at $44.74 a barrel. They're down $1.18. Ethanol futures at $1.49.2, a penny and 9 cents higher. Gasoline on the wholesale price, that's the RBOB, in the October at $1.37.2, down 2 1/10 cents. Heating oil or diesel fuel, 2 3/10 cents lower at $1.55 1/10 per gallon. Natural gas at $2.69 6 cents, up a penny and 3 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at $16,379, 73 points higher. The U.S. dollar, 95.185. That's down 2.57 or down 0.257. And gold futures for the day at $1,104.25, down $5 and a nickel. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Scattered showers, some thunderstorms, and then we'll clear out for a little bit. Chance of precipitation, just 30% in the area. Isolated showers before 10 this evening. Mostly cloudy, the low of 49. Northwest winds at 7 to 11, gusting to 15. Chance of precip set at 20%. Tomorrow, a 30% chance of rainfall before 1 in the afternoon. Central time, of course, partly sunny. A high of 65 degrees on a north wind at 8 to 13, gusting to 16. And Saturday evening, partly cloudy, a low of 44 degrees. Sunday, sunny skies and 69. We'll have a west-northwest wind at 3 to 7. More on the weather forecast from Jim Angel at the bottom of this half hour.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities and Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's the 11th day of September 2015. It's USDA Report Day. On the line with us to take a look at the numbers that came out from the United States Department of Agriculture and how trade ensued in Chicago. After that is Mike Zuzlo, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Mike, I want you to start in a different page. Turn to the livestock for me, because I just looked at those numbers. I've been so busy with everything else for the day, I did not catch there was a pretty sharp downturn in the live and feeder cattle. Why did that happen?
Well, we had the beginning week limit up move, Todd, on expectations by the investment side on a weaker dollar, and also expectations on by the investor side that we were going to get a really strong cash trade in the post Labor Day holiday time period. That stronger cash trade, simply put, did not develop. And I think you had a big enough hog kill every day. We were running 420 plus thousand head a day through the hogs each day as far as slaughter. Between those two things, I think the technicals could not hold up because the cash market never really developed. And then came the USDA report today with the corn carryover dropping, stocks to use numbers now below last year by about 1%. And I think this reignited the fear in the fund trade of the feeder corn spread. And so I think you saw a substantial unwinding of long feeder short corn spread trades as a result of today's report. But I think what really kicked us off was just this cash trade that just has not been developing. And as we go through the fall months, I think the trade is gearing up for bigger and bigger placements, and that will end up be creating a situation where we'll be much heavier on feed numbers by early winter, you know, January, February time period. So I think we're pricing that in right now, but that's kind of how I saw the livestock market this week.
And when you take a look at the numbers as they were released by USDA, and we'd rallied 12 cents in the corn pit, you mentioned that the stocks to use ratio changed just a bit. It's what, at this point, do you have the actual figure? Something like 12%, but I don't.
Yeah, we're down to 11.5% versus 12.6 last year.
Yeah, so we changed enough, I guess, to really push the market a little bit higher. However, the midpoint remains at 375, and I think I was seeing 386, 387 as the final price for the December contract in
right.
The corn pit. Do we need to rally very much more, or is that about right as we move into harvest?
I think we'll take baby steps because of the Federal Reserve report next week, and I think we'll probably take some baby steps initially because of the drier, warmer weather that is expected to come in the next 10 days. I think the big question today that has to be asked is, since D's corn was able to close at its highest level since August 10th, close above its 40-day moving average for the first time since July 24th, why would that happen when you didn't come go without outside the parameters of the trade guess? And in fact, your average corn yield guess was 166.5, so we didn't even go below that. And I think it really goes back to what we saw the USDA do in terms of where the yield changed. We had 4 bushel losses in our state of Kansas, 3 in Nebraska, 2 in Iowa, and 1 in Minnesota. So essentially, Todd, you've taken away the argument that the Western Corn Belt states will help offset the Central and Eastern Corn Belt states. And then you throw on top of that Illinois going up 1 bushel this month versus last. And I think there's a lot of head scratching going on by analysts right now with that number too. So I think you really did probably mentally or sentiment-wise break the idea that we needed to go through those August lows in December corn. So if we're going to go through that 357.5 August low in December corn, I've got to think it's going to be from the outside markets and the Federal Reserve. If we don't get anything negative next week from them, then we should be able to continue to take some baby steps higher. And next stop technically for D's corn would be 395 to 405.
All right. So in the lead option chart at this point, if you take a look at the weeklies, you're there in the September, at least, where you have that big outside week on the weekly chart. We're not on the outside of it, yet we're still in that trading range. Do you think we'll begin to try to challenge that? That high was 391.5 on that week.
I think it's a lot more likely after today's report, and it's interesting because Dow Jones broke a story right after the close came, and they noted that some proprietary how we get this information when it's proprietary is another question, but there's some proprietary surveys out there by Dreyfus and Bunge that are suggesting, based upon their conditions surveys that they're doing, national yield at 160 to 163. So very similar to what we were talking about at the Farm Progress Show on Thursday and Commodity Week last week. And if that's the case, then you really do need, I think, because you'd be below or at a 1.3 billion bushel carryover at that point, right, even with these massive wheat numbers that we got today, I think you probably need to see a four back in front of cash corn if you got that low of a carryover in the new crop 15-16 corn.
Will we know that off the combine or have to wait until October?
I think we'll know that off the combine. I was surprised this week that the trade actually was listening to the yield reports and trying to price some of those in. I thought we would be a lot like last year, where we would only take the big yield reports and not the small ones. So I'm encouraged that the trade has got their ear to the ground a lot more this year.
What'd you see in the soybean market for the day?
You know, soybeans are an interesting bug here, because if you want to make something happen, you've really got to get back up above the old June low of 895.75 in November beans, in my opinion, on the chart. So if you really want that chart to get in, get active and get a little bit more eager to short cover and find a trend change, you're going to need that 895.75 level. So you still got some distance to have to make up there. And you didn't get a lot from the report today. The one thing maybe you got was that USDA raised yield 0.2 bushel, but they kept the acres the same. That statistically doesn't really match up usually. If you're going to put in a higher yield, you probably would be bringing acres down, especially given this prevent plant report that's going to be coming in October. The only other thing I would say about beans is your bean corn ratio and new crop is now hitting 2.26. That's a new contract low on a closing basis. So you're building a substantial premium in the December corn from here on out relative to the November beans. We've got to watch that.
Did you make that they raised in the soybeans by 2 bushels the state of Missouri?
Yes, and I can see why they did that because of what they did in Illinois with the corn. I really think what you saw in this monthly change on the central corn belt and the Missouri bean belt was that they saw more rains come across. And even though it didn't dramatically shift the crop conditions, I think the numerators, if I had to guess, were expecting, and the surveys were expecting with increased rains, a little bit more pod fill.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with us.
Have a great weekend, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzlo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium on a Friday afternoon. It's USDA Report Day. If you'd like to get a look at the numbers, go ahead and take a look at them. They're on our website, willag.org, and you can check out our calendar of events. On Monday evening next week, we'll be at the Farm Credit Illinois building at 6:30. Gary Schnitke will be there. He'll take you through the Arc County. Thinks there's some really interesting things happening there. Your crop insurance products and what might look like next year for income. And we'll have, of course, a list of our brokers with us. That's at 6:30 at the Farm Credit Illinois building right in Mahomet here in Champaign County. And it's open to everybody. So if you want to drop by, please do so. We're joined in studio now by Daryl Good, ag economist at the University of Illinois. Thank you, Daryl, for taking the time with us today. USDA, of course, releasing the crop production and the world agricultural supply and demand estimates. They managed to change a little bit of everything. What numbers did you see that you made most note of?
Well, as you mentioned, they did tweak a lot of numbers. I'm not sure there was any one that would stand out as more important than the other, but for corn, importantly, USDA did lower their forecast of the size of the upcoming harvest by 100 million bushels, also lowered their projection of stocks of old crop corn that will be on hand at the start of the new marketing year by 40 million bushels. So that's a significant change, 140 million bushels in the expected supply of corn for this year. That was offset a bit by downward revision in the projection of feed and residual use of corn for the upcoming marketing year. A net effect lowered the projection of year-ending stocks a year from now by 120 million bushels, down getting closer to that 1.5 billion bushel level. So I think directionally that's kind of what the market expected, perhaps a bigger reduction in the stocks forecast was anticipated, but I think many hold the expectation that more revisions are coming with the October report.
And for soybeans?
Soybeans, I think the number that caught my eye was really the yield number. A lot of speculation that the way the growing season was ending, that USDA might find slightly lower average yield on soybeans. The forecast went up 0.2 bushel from last month. And so that results in a slightly larger production forecast. But that was more than offset by the fact that the projection of old crop inventories that we'll have on hand at the beginning of the year will be 30 million bushels smaller than forecast last month. So with all the changes, USDA did manage to lower the projection of year-ending stocks for this coming marketing year by 20 million bushels. Still not tight by any stretch of the imagination at 450 million bushels, but from a price standpoint, at least a move in the right direction.
Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, South Dakota all increased by a bushel to the acre for soybeans. Missouri was even up 2 bushels to the acre for beans. That's a surprising number.
I think it really is surprising. In a lot of the states where growing season weather was pretty stressful all year, and then we had this 10 days of 90-degree temperatures. Some of that, of course, occurred after the survey was conducted, so that opens the door for speculation about what we might see next month. But I think the higher soybean numbers in those states had to be viewed as a surprise.
Corn number in the state of Illinois went up.
Corn number went up a bushel in Illinois, and I think many people were leaning the other direction, thinking we might see a few bushels taken off of the 172. And conversely, of course, many of us thought that we might see an upward revision in the Iowa yield forecast, but that one was trimmed by a bushel, so kind of offset what happened in Illinois.
By the time we get to next fall, 1.592 billion bushels will be left. What's that put the stocks-to-use ratio at?
You know, that's getting the ratio down under 12%. I don't know what it is exactly, but certainly from a historical standpoint, it's not a stocks-to-use ratio that we would consider to be burdensome, and the absolute level of inventory at under 1.6 billion would not be considered burdensome from a normal standpoint. So
why do we have such low prices is the question, right?
Yeah, so what it says is the stocks-to-use ratio is not always a good predictor of the price, because price is determined by the interaction of supply and demand during the marketing year, and what you trace out over time is kind of that equilibrium price that's established each year. And we put that into a stocks to use ratio context, but it depends on whether you're looking at a really strong demand scenario or a weak demand scenario. And I think what we're seeing right now is kind of a weak demand environment for commodities in general, and specifically corn and soybeans in the export market. We're not seeing the kind of economic growth we would like to see around the world. China is apparently struggling a bit. Currency values don't favor U.S. commodities. And so we're not as in a competitive a position in the world market. And I think that's reflected in a lower price than you might expect based on the expected level of carryout. It's not burdensome. It's not really a big surplus. But I think what the market is saying is it's going to take a relatively low price to get consumption done this year.
Season's average cash price is expected to be $3.75. What would be the expected price at you were thinking about at these levels, Harold?
You know, if you back the clock up a couple years and said we were looking at the demand environment we had at that point, you would expect the current stocks-to-use ratio projection to point to about $4 corn, maybe slightly higher. So I think that difference, 25 cents or so, is the effect of the weakness that we're seeing in the world economies.
Can you do the same thing for soybean?
It's not as straightforward on soybeans. We don't find historically a good relationship between price and the stocks-to-use ratio. I think it's a function of, again, the growth of the South American soybean economy, so that when you've got a huge harvest coming every 6 months, the stocks-to-use ratio in the U.S. is not as important as it once was. So we just don't find a very good relationship there. In recent years, it has been fairly strong in corn, but not so much this year. But I think even to a greater extent, soybeans are suffering a bit from this weak world economy, and particularly probably the exchange rates, because we depend much more heavily on the export market for soybeans than we do for corn. And if we're seeing weakness in that segment of the market, it's much more important.
Anything that farmers need to consider through the harvest season as they begin to market? Soybeans, a lot of times, will go across the scale, maybe not stored for very long.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of in a traditional price pattern on soybeans in terms of the price structure, that there's not much carry in the market. And again, because of the South American supplies coming within 6 months, the market really does not choose to pay anybody to store soybeans. So if someone wants to be friendly, the soybean market, it really says probably ownership other than storage would be the way to go. Would we recommend storage? It's hard to see at this point what might give us a bump near term on soybean prices. We certainly haven't seen the final production number, and we have to go through the South American growing season, so there are always possibilities for a spike now and then in soybean prices, but I think that's what it will be. I don't see an uptrend in soybean prices, but maybe some periodic opportunities, short windows of time when the prices might spike a bit.
And for corn?
I think maybe there's a little more potential for the corn market. Again, if the production number comes down and the stocks number projection gets even a little tighter, because once again, the domestic market is so much more important for corn. We get a smaller crop forecast. We get some goods consumption figures. We get some South American concerns. I think there's a little more potential on corn. And of course, the market is paying a decent carry to store corn at this point, which it typically does. But even from a flat price standpoint, I'd be a little more friendly to the corn market than soybeans at this point.
Darryl, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Todd.
Darryl Good, ag economist at the University of Illinois. Well, normally on a Friday afternoon, we'd be joined by Andy Schaefer at this point to talk about the cash grain market. He's traveling this week and not available. He, of course, is at the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility. I'll remind you very quickly that on Monday evening, you can drop by the Farm Credit Illinois building. That at 6:30 for one of our Will Ag panels. Matt Bennett, Jason Clapp, and Amy Sage will be on hand, and Gary Schnitke, too. We'll talk about Arc County payments and cash rents with him. That's at Farm Credit Illinois in Mahomet. It's really simple to get to right there on Prairie View Road off 74.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's National Hot Cross Bun Day. This sweet spiced bun first was named in 1733. The hot cross bun was a source of controversy. Protestant English monarchs saw the buns as a dangerous holdover of Catholic belief. The buns baked from the dough used to make communion wafers. Protestant England attempted to ban their sale, but they proved too popular. So Elizabeth I passed a law allowing their sale, but only on Easter and Christmas. On this day in agricultural history in 1721, Rudolf Jacob Camemarius died, a German botanist. He showed the existence of sexes in plants and identified the stamen and pistil as the male and female organs. In 1851, Sylvester Graham died. He advocated vegetarianism, temperance, and the use of coarse-ground whole wheat flour. But he was best known for the invention of the Graham cracker in 1829. In addition to whole wheat flour, Graham advocated hard mattresses, open windows, fresh fruits and vegetables, pure drinking water, and cheerfulness at meals. And in 1961, the World Wildlife Fund, a conservation organization, was founded. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Coming up in the next half hour, stay with us if you can for Commodity Week. It'll air on many of these radio stations tomorrow morning, and I'll post it this evening to our website. Again, the address, willag.org. This edition is live because of the USDA reports this morning. Our guests today will be Pete Manhart, Bill Mayer, and Dan Zwicker, along with special guest Mark Schleusner. He's the state statistician for USDA NAS in the state of Illinois. Commodity Week in just a few minutes, right here on Illinois Public Media. Now up next, as usual, it's time to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. We're joined by Jim Angel of the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. September so far has been running about 7 degrees above average. However, cooler weather moved into Illinois this week. Rainfall has been uneven across the state. In general, areas to the west of Interstate 55 have been dry, while areas to the east of Interstate 55 have been wetter than average, in some cases 1 to 4 inches above average. The National Weather Service updated their El Nino forecast on Thursday. They continue to predict that El Nino will remain with us through winter and gradually weaken through the spring of 2016. And why do we care about warm waters in the eastern Pacific Ocean? Because the changing patterns over the Pacific influence weather conditions around the world. Dry conditions can prevail in Australia and Southeast Asia, as well as parts of South America, including Brazil. High pressure will be the dominant feature across the Midwest for this weekend and early next week. That means cooler temperatures, lower humidity, clear skies, and no rain. Highs will start out in the 60s on Saturday, climbing into the 70s on Sunday and Monday, and reaching into the 80s on Tuesday through Thursday. Overnight lows will be in the 40s on Sunday morning. From Monday to Wednesday, they will be in the 50s and reach into the 60s by Thursday. The heat arriving on Thursday is expected to remain through the next weekend and on into the week following. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Our thanks go to Jim Angel for his update of the weather forecast for the state of Illinois. You can always hear him again on our website. The address there is willag.org. And while you're there, please do check out our calendar of events. You'll find that next Monday evening we'll be in Mahomet at the Farm Credit Illinois building starting at 6:30 for one of our Will Ag Outlook panels before you go to the field and really start harvest for corn and soybeans this fall. Get yourself into the right mode of action for marketing. Jason Clapp of Risk Management Commodities will be with us, along with Amy Sage at the Andersons and Matt Bennett. He's with Channel Seeds. And, of course, Bennett Consulting out of Windsor, Illinois. We'll talk about Arc County payments and cash rents as well. Gary Schnitke, agricultural economist, will be along. That's at the Farm Credit Illinois building. It's open, free to everybody. Starts at 6:30 in the evening next Monday, right here in Champaign County.